right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, February 5th, 2013. 2015, 2013. Come on. And this says Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. I kind of wish it was 2013, because at least in 2013, I didn't know as much as I do now about some of the crazy stuff that's going on. Oh, happy Thursday. We almost made it through another week. These weeks seem to get longer and longer in the wintertime in the Northeast, especially. I need to find myself some sort of ultraviolet light bulb or something. But though today we have one of the very rare sunny days during the winter, it's kind of nice and almost at freezing outside. So we get one little glimpse of spring, and then I saw we have like a double whammy headed this way. Oh, back down to hunkering down. All kinds of stuff yesterday. I have dubbed this Nanotech Week. We've been talking about some pretty hot issues over the last 3 weeks now that, weirdly so, after we had discussions on them, and this is stuff that I was dredging out of the archives just from knowledge and research that I have, all of a sudden ended up in the headlines. So it tells us that we've been right on the money the whole time, and we're on to what's going on, because check this out. So all this nanotech, this virus, epidemics, pandemics, the worst ever epidemic in the history of mankind type stuff, has all been a diabolical plan to push us to the point now where we have Johnny crying that he can't go to Disney World because Sally and Susie didn't get their vaccines. And this plan, and we saw this, I mean, we talked about this, but we saw this last year with the quote unquote Ebola outbreak, how they were really crafting the message to be able to make the decisions as to who is quarantinable, who is vaccinatable. I mean, we've talked about this forever. Now, something that was brought to my attention yesterday, and I really want to dig into this one of these days, and I might have to dig into it over the weekend, and maybe we can start on this next week. My friend that doesn't agree with me on anything actually was quite open to what I've been talking about here for the last couple weeks, and we found a treasure trove of information, and I'll have to tell you, the Google gods yesterday, something very odd happened. But I'll tell you after this. So anyway, he sprinkled me with some info instead of arguing with me, and I was not aware of a document, a federal document titled State Emergency Health Powers Act that came out after September 11th. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. That definitely was before the days when my eyes were open. Living in New York State, a majority of us were suffering from PTSD back in those days. And you didn't even have to live close to New York City. Being in the state was enough. Having family that lives in New York made it doubly worse. And then, of course, I mean, they played on that with all of us. Be afraid, be afraid, be very afraid. I mean, now we have how many boogeymen? Well, there's lots and lots of boogeymen. It's an assault frontally and behind, from above, from below, constantly. They are just playing on our fears to make us submit. Don't submit. Do not submit. I'm telling you, this is all a game. This is using psychology and propaganda to win a war. I never would have believed this, guys. I mean, I think you've listened to me long enough. How long have I been doing this now? This is coming on 4 years, if you can even believe it. 4 years. So I think you got a good understanding of my personality by now. You've heard thousands of hours of me ranting. I'm pretty logical when it comes to stuff like this. I require proof. I don't just jump off at, the first article on Harry's blog talking about whatever. Most of this stuff I got to dig up from public documents, from libraries online, from scientific journals, stuff like that, where you would have more, you know, you'd be able to trust the information a little bit more than just mainstream news. Or, and though I do listen to mainstream news, I pick it apart to try to find the lies and the plans and their sources. It's mainstream news is a tool. You know, I get upset when people poo-poo mainstream news, because if we don't pay attention to what mainstream news is talking about, we don't know what they're trying to feed the people. We got to know the lies that they're trying to feed the people, and then they always give away what's next. So this whole vaccine thing, what was happening in the whole background is this technology revolution of where they are planning our assimilation, literally, the Borg. It's frightening, but it's true. These nanobots, these self-assembling nanobots that are now going to be our savior and cure you of every ill, including cancer, make sure you are the first in line to line up and get these suckers injected. Guys, this is the end. I've been saying this for a long time, but it's the end of biological life as we know it. Now, I've been trying to find a couple videos for a few weeks now to share with you guys, and I was pretty certain that they were gone forever. I knew what all the keywords were. I searched them. I plugged them in. They were on a Pigmind channel that had long been taken down through no fault of anybody's. Well, yesterday, guys, I don't know what Google God was looking down, but after the show yesterday, and I'm telling you this, I've never seen anything like this. After the show yesterday, I plugged in my term. It was something like scientists create artificial DNA and Pigmind. And what shows up? But all kinds of results from Pigmind 5 with thumbnails. I'm like, how is that possible? Pigmind 5 has been gone for probably 6, 8, 10 months or so. I think it was September that we had to abandon ship, and then it got taken down. Well, there was an appeal because it was bogus. The strike 3 was very bogus. There was an appeal, and apparently the Google gods finally got to it, because guess what? YouTube.com/Pigmind5 is back. They breathe life into it. Over 15,000 videos, guys. That was the channel that UCY fully helped launch, promote. You guys, all those videos that you guys watched, that has almost 3 million views on that channel. That channel was something actually to be very proud of. There was so much information, so many clips of stuff. I was just devastated that it wasn't available at my fingertips anymore online, because that channel had so much stuff in regards to this. Well, guys, it's back. I found the videos. So this is now, let's see, we're probably going to talk. This is from 2014. Check this out. We've talked about this. CATG. And now they've added X and Y. And they've been doing this for a while, but this literally, scientists have created alien life, a hybrid of biological and synthetic.
Tonight we are hearing about a major medical breakthrough. For the first time, scientists have created artificial DNA, the universal genetic code. Dr. John LaPook tonight tells us about the hopes and fears that come with this.
Scientists at the Scripps Research Institute in San Diego, California, created an organism not found in nature. They did it by adding artificial genetic building blocks. DNA is the genetic material the body uses to store the unique blueprint for each human being. The information exists as a code based on four chemicals, nicknamed A, T, C, and G. They pair up with each other in different combinations to create 20 amino acids, the building blocks of proteins. The Scripps team created two artificial chemicals called X and Y. They inserted them inside the cells of simple bacteria. That created the potential for 172 amino acids and proteins that do not currently exist.
I'd like to know what X and Y are.
Those proteins could be used to create a new generation of drugs and vaccines. Adriana Heggie is the director of the Genome Technology Center at NYU Langone Medical Center.
What I think is fantastic about this technology is that we basically were able to cheat evolution and to trick this organism into accepting molecules that do not exist in nature.
This is a true technological tour de force, but the idea of tinkering with genetic material does make some people nervous. It all underscores the importance of careful thought as we increasingly are able to alter the basic genetic building blocks of our body.
John, thank you.
Yeah, and he brings up some good points. I mean, we're tinkering with the building blocks of life on planet Earth. And we're going to take a look, because I've said a lot of times that there is no ethics board. There's no standards board. There's no real laws to protect any of us. Well, guess what? I actually found a massive PDF, if you're following the Before the First Cup Facebook page or the news feed, the Dystopia News. I've been posting it all there. There are some legal documents out there that deal with nanotechnology. I combed through one from 2010 UCLA Journal of Law and Technology, and there's a paper out there that's called Mechanisms for Addressing Exposure to Nanotech. We're going to look at that a little bit later as well. So anyway, getting back to this, so scientists have created this artificial DNA. This was back in 2014, I believe. Yes, May 8th of 2014. So almost a year ago now. There was another video. This one was an RT video. I'd like to play this one also. I'm so excited that these videos reappear. You don't know how long I've been looking for these. And these and that Eric Schmidt one talking about the smart technology and the immortality that we played yesterday, that was not available online either. And we dredged that one up from the dead. This stuff, I don't think they want this stuff out there, or just nobody cares. I mean, that's the other thing. All right, here we go.
Speaking of genetic modification, today's show is brought to you by the letters DNA. That's because scientists at the Scripps Research Institute have created the first organism with alien DNA. Wait, give me a second to explain. As you may remember from science class, double helix DNA strands are bonded together with four genetic letters, A, T, C, and G. Now, this new organism has all the above, as well as an X and a Y. The living cell these scientists are then working with reproduced normally in the test tube with the inclusion of the two foreign DNA building blocks, X and Y. The next step is to get this so-called alien DNA to actually do something, like produce proteins that target cancer cells, or something even currently unimaginable. So food for thought.
Yeah, like what?
This do exist, hopefully.
Something unimaginable, like, oh, make you grow wings or take over your brain. I'm telling you, this is not a good thing. They can do anything with this. This makes them gods, and that's why this is dangerous. Now, there was one more clip that I was very surprised about. Now, we've been talking about, we heard that story 2 days ago that had just come out, self-assembling nanobots to cure cancer, right? Well, this one was from early last year. I think it was January, and it came out of South Korea, and I do vaguely remember this. South Korean scientists create cancer-destroying nanobot. Now, the discovery that they announced from 2 days ago was from the Weiss Institute. The Weiss Institute, remember, is DARPA-funded, and that includes Harvard, MIT, all of those unmanned aerial micro-vehicle research. They're all under the Weiss Institute as well. But we also have military installations in South Korea, so it makes me wonder if we don't have some sort of federal government funding that went to help the scientists in South Korea to develop the fledgling technology that now has rolled out. And it even said it was patented, which made me wonder. So here, check this one out.
Scientists in South Korea may have created a breakthrough in cancer treatment. Using nanotechnology, the researchers claim to have created a robot that, when ingested, can seek out and destroy cancer cells without causing any harm to healthy cells.
Now, we heard that, right? Ingest a robot. They're really talking about this. Yesterday, or 2 days ago, in that story that came out, they said they were self-assembling nanobots.
The nanorobot, dubbed Bacteriobot, uses genetically modified non-toxic salmonella bacteria to detect cancer cells. The bacteria push a robotic capsule filled with anti-cancer drugs toward those cells. Once the tumor is reached, the drugs are released. The technology has not yet been tested on humans, but researchers say it was successful in mice. Currently, the nanorobot is only effective at detecting tumor-causing cancers such as breast and colorectal cancer. The Bacteriobot could eliminate the side effects generally associated with cancer treatments like chemotherapy, such as nausea, hair loss, and digestive problems. While the technology has already been patented, it has not yet been approved for use on humans. Nick Dietz, CBS News.
You know, and what's so interesting about this, I mean, I'm not going to say that I don't get excited when I see something like this and I think to myself, how amazing that they would be able to individually target cells that were diseased with stuff that would kill those cells and not kill the rest of the body, right? That's been really the curse of cancer, right? Treatment of cancer actually means that you're going to get very sick, your immune system is going to get destroyed, and if you're strong enough, you'll be able to recover from that. So don't think that I'm bashing the fact that somebody apparently, after all these years of research and all the billions of dollars that have gone into curing cancer over all these years, finally, when the time was ripe, they finally came out with something that looks promising. But don't think, and I mean, we know that there were all kinds of alternative cures as well up until this point. Don't think, though, that this is not timed perfectly. Okay, because like I said in the very beginning, with these technologies, to get us to take these technologies and to accept them, they probably were going to do something like told you that they cured cancer. Because if they tell you they cure cancer, millions of people will line up, and you heard what he said. It's a patented technology, yet it has not been tested in humans. Because stuff like this can't be tested in humans unless there is an emergency declared. Well, that happened with Ebola. The Ebola emergency, quote unquote, which, by the way, I think I dropped that link, but I did find the story yesterday that said that they found the actual tree that all the infected fruit bats were in and all the children played around it. With the quote-unquote emergency of Ebola, that was the first time they started messing with some of these technologies. And we dug deep into that RNAi, the RNAi vaccinations. They actually go in and they tinker with the RNA that then goes in and tinkers with your DNA. These inserting cytoplasms into other genes that they've sucked the brains out of. I saw a couple therapies. One was using mouse genes. They suck out the cytoplasm and the nucleus and they put in human genes and some sort of then GMO proteins. And I mean, this is Frankenscience. If we had benevolent dictators running the show, I might not be as leery as I am right now. But remember, it all comes down to the bottom line. And remember, there are other dots that connect. Like, oh, lo and behold, the new industry for the 21st century, according to Obama, now that Obamacare is in full rollout and destruction of us in our healthcare system, not that it was great to begin with, but it was better than what it's coming. Now that that's all rolled out and a big cluster F, now we got precision medicine on top of it. Precision medicine is going to be able to use targeted therapies, and everybody's going to have to give a genetic swab to get into the medical records database. That database includes whether or not you've been vaccinated. Oh, what? Anti-vaxxer parents are causing my child to get sick? Well, kill them all then. They're radicals. They should be jailed. I mean, it's going to come to that. Did you see now the newest thing that's going on? So we got this whole big debate pitting parent against parent. Like I told you yesterday, if you are a parent, you will understand. If you're not a parent, then listen. It makes you psycho. You turn into mama bear if you think that harm is going to come to your child. This is a very hot red button that they just pushed for divide and conquer. But then we saw that somehow they spun this all into now a 2016 election issue. We got them now talking about vaccines. And Brandon Turberville wrote an excellent article. I don't know if I still have it up. I did. I read it last night. He had posted it on the UCY page, and it was about the left-right paradigm now all of a sudden being involved in the vaccine issue. And pretty much, if you're a Democrat, Hillary Clinton came out and in support of vaccines. I'd seen Brandon say, I hadn't seen Hillary come out and say that, but I trust Brandon. His research is always impeccable. And then we had the clip that we actually played yesterday with Chris Christie and Rand Paul basically saying that parents should have a choice. Well, it isn't even about choices anymore. When we had the quote-unquote Ebola outbreak, and I mentioned this again yesterday with that Carrie chick that came back from Africa, the Doctors Without Borders, and was quarantined in New Jersey, and she went and hired her lawyer, and the big question came out. And like I said, I did a story on that, and nobody seemed to even care or see the importance as to why that one event was so important. But it set a precedent. It set a precedent that they can quarantine you. And the way that they did that was that they said that you singular individual who wanted to exercise rights over your person, were now a threat to the herd. And because of that, you will be ostracized. And if you want to get out of your ostracision, is that actually a word? Hire a lawyer. Because it's up for debate. Along with that, we found in July, Obama had passed a new executive action during the Obama Ebola scare that added pneumonia, I believe, which is pretty common, and lots of things could mimic, to the quarantinable offenses. Now, this other document that my friend dropped me yesterday, and like I said, it's pretty long, so I'm going to have to read it this weekend, but came out in 2001 after September 11th, and it's titled The State Emergency Health Powers Act. And I was very, very shocked just as I was looking down through the table of contents. This is actually titled, this looks like it was a model, so I'll have to find the final. But it's called the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act as of December 21st, 2001, a draft for discussion prepared by the Center for Law and the Public Health at Georgetown and John Hopkins University. Remember, John Hopkins is where they have that entire database of children's brains for the Brain Project. Prepared for the Center of Disease Control, et cetera, et cetera. Table of contents. I mean, of course, the typical stuff, planning for a public health emergency, measures to detect and track public health emergencies. Remember, we also got the Ebola SWAT team out of the Ebola quote-unquote emergency. They also got their first experimental vaccines. Now, that I just found out, too, that human trial that is going on right now in Moldova in Liberia just started. Very first human trials now with this new crap that they're shooting them up. And I mean, they didn't small trials, but this is the mass trial. We had read about that a few weeks ago. There were going to be hundreds of thousands of people. But mysteriously, after the funding, after the declaration of emergency, after we find out that there's all these drugs sitting in the pipeline, they've already been tested in animals, and they were just waiting for the next emergency to poke humans. Soon as that all happened, bloop, Ebola disappeared. And like I said, must have been that they found that tree And they literally did. There was a story that came out in Washington Post that says they have found the tree that the infected fruit bats are in that caused all of the Ebola. And it was near the children. All right. So this document also talks about, okay, ways to track, coordination, emergency powers, enforcement, executive orders, et cetera, et cetera. But this is the part that scared me. Special powers during a state of public health emergency. And we have things such as disposal of infectious waste. And apparently after all this time, we saw during the quote-unquote Ebola outbreak, they didn't know what to do with all the infected waste. Do you remember that? When that guy that, oh, I remembered his name the other day too, Duncan, in Texas, the first guy, the patient zero that got on the plane and lied and then came here, that then stayed with his family in that apartment complex, and then they just sent in regular, like, cleaners with no hazmat gear. This document's from 2001. And part of that was safe disposal of infectious waste. Remember I did that story, too, in New York City? The cops just peeling off his mask and stuff and throwing it in a garbage can on the corner of the street. Remember that? So obviously, they didn't get very far or nobody shared this document. I did not know about this document. Another section, safe disposal of human remains. So, all right, we've postulated a lot about those black coffins that are stacked up all over the South. Who knows? That actually... I don't know if they came up with a way to do that. I know in Africa, they had some protocol that they were following. They weren't allowed to have funerals. Everything was very infectious after the person died. But I don't know if they really came up with something here. You know, that might be something for a homework project. Figure out what they did with the dead bodies from the people that didn't make it, like Duncan, here in the United States, who were diagnosed with having Ebola. You know, don't want it to be like Dawn of the Dead, where they decided to cremate the bodies and then it rained down pathogen on all the people downwind. Another one is control of healthcare supplies, rationing, procurement, priority distribution. When I took that FEMA class back in 2006, that was one of the things that they talked about. There are these centers, and I don't remember what they name these centers, but there's a bunch of them around the country that have very large amounts of vaccines for all kinds of well-known bioterror potential diseases. That if there were a massive emergency like that and we had a massive pandemic, they could ship out. And they're all, what's that stuff called? You know that plastic wrap, but it's industrial plastic wrap. So when they have large shipments that go onto like a tractor trailer, they stack all the cases together. And then, it's like shrink wrap. They take it. It's real strong, like saran wrap almost. But huge sheets, and they take it and they wrap it all around and they make them into big packets. Well, that's exactly what they have. I think there were 12 locations. And, you know, I actually just found the big book that they gave us when I took that class. It was a 12-week, 8 or a 12-week class. I think it was 12. I have that downstairs. So I should look in there because they would have that information. But in the case of a mass emergency, they do have these big packages at these different centers, all strategically positioned throughout the country, that are to be shipped out to the designated medical establishments that would be in control if something like that happened. But there's only so much of antidote. You know what I mean? Until they get production up, until they realize what's going on, until, you know, and I mean, here's the thing. All of this could be orchestrated. So I don't even want to get into that, but I just want you to understand that there probably is going to be rationing when this happens. And we were told that if we would help with supplying these drugs, prophylactics, handing out drugs, You know, at the time, they were worried about anthrax and things of that nature as well. If we would help with our community, our family would be the first ones to get the antidote. That's how they sell you on it. I could see why they'd say that, because they don't want you to worry about your family. They want you to worry about emergency that's going on. But on the other hand, there won't be enough for everyone, especially if it's real and it's big. We even saw that in Ebola, remember? Oh, they had this new novel vaccine. Whoops, it's all gone. It's going to be 6 months before we make some more. Well, guess what? The more that they made is now what they are injecting into the Liberians. Who's all the Ebola tents that the United States government built for them, where we sent our soldiers over, are all empty. How amazing is that? The special powers also talks about isolation and quarantining procedures, vaccination and treatment, how to get out of isolation and quarantine, court appointing counsels for you to sue, criminal investigation, chain of custody. This is with laboratory specimens. Access to and disclosure of what? Protected health information. That is the line item that addresses HIPAA privacy laws that we discovered a few days ago in a document, a story about Google and Google Life Health Sciences with their nanobot project to diagnose disease. The only way that this is ever going to work is if we give up our privacy protections and make our health data public for the database. Now, let's see here. Liability. I mean, it just goes down. So, you know what? This is a document that if anybody wants to dig into, it's called the State Emergency Health Powers Act. This is something that I want to dig into next week. It's pretty long. I'm going to drop this draft that I had in chat. If anyone wants to look at what I'm looking at, if you can't find anything, it's at publichealthlaw.net. And then the next section is slash M as in model, S as in state, E as in emergency, health, H as in health, P as in powers, A as in act. So that's MSEHPA/MSEHPA2.pdf. I'll read that one more time. Publichealthlaw.net, MSEHPA/MSEHPA2.pdf. Definitely something to take a look at. So where do we go from here? Well, you're not even going to believe this. So now this argument about vaccination and non-vaccination has fired up. It's over measles. We looked at measles. Measles is bullshit. I also saw that there are lots of reports of outbreaks of measles, even when the population has been almost fully vaccinated, like in China. One of the big outbreaks in the United States was between the years of 1988, I believe. It was 88 or 89, and 1991. Well, I found that yesterday in my research. And remember, I told you guys that I actually was one of the people that was vaccinated when I was a kid and caught measles in college. Guess when I was in college? Between the years of 1986 and 1991. That's exactly when the big outbreak was in the United States. I didn't know that. Yes, I had measles, and I had been vaccinated. The death rate of measles is very small if you look into the signs and symptoms and the stats on it. It starts out, actually, it's more like a flu than anything else. It's an upper respiratory with a hacking cough and a bit of a fever and a runny nose. And there's some inflammation. There are some bad side effects that you can get. The fever can get bad. You can end up with encephalitis. Not saying that it's impossible to die from it. But measles is not this Ebola scale of illness. And we didn't even see, at least in this country, that much death. I mean, Ebola, the story we read the other day was saying that Ebola is difficult to transmit between people. But it had a high mortality rate, and we had been reading 80 to 90% in the beginning when it first came out. It ended up to be around 50 for that strain, natural or created, who knows, from the fruit bats in the one single tree they happen to find in the continent of Africa with infected bats. But measles was easily transmissible. It can last for up to 2 hours, an aerosolized cough or spit sitting on a surface. Takes 10 to 14 days in your body to incubate before you show symptoms. And that whole time, you are contagious. So it's covert. It can spread easily. But it's not deadly like Ebola. In very young, it might be. People with immunocompromised, it might be. You know, then you take your own precautions and you deal with it. But this is not an end of the world fucking scenario that they're trying to tell these overly sensitive, liberal, don't make fun of me because I might cry parents. You know, get a backbone, people. That's what gets me. So get this. You knew this was coming. You knew this was coming. So now it's become an election issue. Now they're talking about whether or not it's appropriate to make vaccination law versus a choice. Like I said in Brandon's story that he released yesterday, it had pitted the bipartisan system against each other. So if you're for vaccines, you're a Democrat, and you're against them, you're one of those crazy Republicans. And this is just such bullshit. They came out against Rand Paul also saying how absolutely inappropriate it was for him, with all the research that's out there that say vaccines are good and vaccines work, to make a comment that he's aware of children who've gotten vaccinations and were permanently damaged. They squashed that pretty quick on CNN. Well, get this. So there is now a push, at least by this one doctor, and this was on CNN on the 4th, so this was yesterday. They're going against three doctors now who've come out publicly against vaccinating. And they're calling now for doctors who don't believe in vaccination to lose their licenses. Now, remember, too, this isn't just about vaccines anymore. There were the traditional vaccines, love the demon that you know. At least we were fully aware that they were loaded with mercury and aluminum and SV40 cancer cells and all the other crap. This new shit we know nothing about. This new shit is what they're putting into these new vaccines. And I'm going to point something else out to you. So there's all these studies out there floating, and I've read a bunch of them about, you know, why are we even bothering? And this is in the anti-vaxxer movement. Why are we even bothering to get our children vaccinated? Because look, all these children here had the whooping cough vaccine and all of them got sick. And all these children here had the measles vaccine and all of them got sick. So this must be proof positive that the vaccines don't work. Well, guys, I'm going to warn you, double-edged sword. Maybe they want us to believe that these vaccines don't work. Maybe that's actually part of the whole ugly plan. Hey, it's outdated technology now. You know what? Our viruses have mutated just like MRSA. Remember, there was an executive order that came out in September or October about their new battle. Billions of federal dollars, by the way. There was a story just the other day, again, that came out about that, to battle antibiotic-resistant pathogens. these new, stronger, braver illnesses. Well, what if these quote-unquote ineffective traditional vaccines that we received in the 70s and the 80s, what if the intent is to make them look like they're not effective? Because guess what? Now the herd immunity that they're pushing so hard no longer exists, and we're all a risk. So we all need to get booster shots of whatever the hell the newest cocktail is that they just created in the lab that, oh, there's an emergency. You need to all get it. Whoop, under my emergency healthcare powers, it's now become mandatory. Guys, I think that's what they're lining us up for. And the fact that now they're going after doctors who are taking stuff that they've seen with their own two eyes and at least raising a questionable red flag, and they want to literally remove their licenses because they said that they are being dangerous. Right now, we should have unity, and everyone should be behind these vaccines in this time of turmoil. And they're using their positions of power to stir unrest. Doesn't that sound like fucking fascism to you? I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. You have to hear this. So again, this is on mainstream news. This has now reached a new level of demonization. Guys, the next step is to come after the parents. And if you're not vaccinating, there isn't going to be a choice. You know what? It's child abuse. CPS is coming for your kids. I see it. This is not cool in any way, shape, or form. We are going to be assimilated whether or not we plan on it. That is their plan. So check this out. Listen very closely.
As we went outside the office of Dr. Jack Wolfson, it's not the doctor, but police who show up.
Somebody called and said you're a suspicious vehicle, so obviously you got something going on.
We're here to talk to Dr. Wolfson, who's ignored an email request and multiple phone calls. It's a sudden about face. He isn't interested in talking anymore.
This is public property. Nobody's asked you to leave. I'm not being told to ask you to leave, so you're welcome to be here. Thank you.
Bye. Seconds later, we follow the officer.
Hi, good morning, doctor.
Over to Dr. Wolfson, whose office had apparently called the police.
Can we just talk about the investigation that's been opened by the Arizona Medical Board, the State Medical Board?
Are you changing your opinion about vaccination, sir? He won't answer. A very different Dr. Wolfson from last week, who, as a cardiologist, spoke to CNN's Elizabeth Cohen about why people should not vaccinate.
Could you live with yourself if your child got another child sick? I mean, really sick, had complications, even death.
I could live with myself very easily. It's a very unfortunate thing that people die, but unfortunately people die. And I'm not going to put my child at risk to save another child. I'm not going to sacrifice the well-being of my child. My child is pure.
Dr. Wolfson followed that with numerous interviews with local television stations and national newspapers.
Are you changing your opinion about vaccination, sir?
So, why doesn't he want to talk anymore? Could it be that he's read the decades of scientific studies showing his position is wrong?
You know, here's something else. If there's decades of research on vaccines, and there might be all kinds. I mean, I totally believe in immunology. If you literally are just giving somebody exposure, I mean, we understand how the immune system works. So you're giving them exposure to a pathogen. The body's going to build its own defenses. All right. I totally believe in that. I don't believe in all the other bullshit and the thermosol and the aluminum and the adjuvants and the squalene and all this other crap that they're putting in there, number one. And that's just been over the last like 10 years that we've seen. I mean, aluminum's been a lot longer, but the squalene and that and these new adjuvants had just been over the last 10 years or so. But then take a step forward. Now, if you understand anything about how these drugs and how this new RNAi and the GMO technologies are approved. I actually dug deep into that yesterday because I've talked about this, but I really want to explain it to you. there are laws that once, and there's a long video actually that I need to get through, and then I'm going to find clips to play you guys. It's like a 2.5 hour conference. But what happens is they deem the actual natural chemicals as quote unquote safe. So then when the synthetic version of these chemicals built with nanotechnology come out, you know, chemically speaking, they are the same, but how they interact with the body is not the same. But the FDA and the EPA are giving these Frankenstein synthetic substances a rubber stamp without any additional testing to put into humans and food and animals for us to consume. So the disturbing part is that all these studies that are being done in the past when we had traditional studies with traditional substances. Any of this new shit that's being put into our environment and our food and our bodies and our air and our water now is not being tested. This is the psycho genie out of the bottle with lunatics like freaking Kurzweil at the helm. I'm going to play a little bit more.
Probably not.
Is there an investigation going on?
Yes, there is.
Jenna Jones is the executive director with the Arizona Board of Osteopathic Examiners, the state agency that regulates those doctors.
We open a complaint file, we investigate it, and then we bring it before the board for resolution. All of our cases are confidential.
But we do know two complaints filed with the state board come on the heels of Dr. Wolfson's vocal anti-vaccine interviews and calls by other doctors saying amid this measles outbreak, anti-vaccine doctors are a public health threat.
I would like.
Did you hear that? Amid this measles outbreak, doctors like him are a public health threat. Enemy number one. Guys, first of all, to me, when I dug into this, measles really looks no worse than chickenpox. Chickenpox, you can get sick too. You can get scarred. You can get ancillary illnesses to anything. Catch a common cold, and you know what? You might end up with bronchitis or a sinus infection or freaking pneumonia. Can happen with any of them. Okay, this is not public health emergency number one. I'm not hemorrhaging out my eyeballs.
I'd like to see them lose their licenses to practice.
Dr. Peter Lipson is a practicing internist and a contributor to Forbes.com, who urged in a column for state medical boards to investigate and pull the licenses of physicians like Dr. Wolfson and two other prominent doctors who support a modified vaccine schedule, California's Dr. Jay Gordon and Dr. Bob Sears.
Guys, this isn't even about being anti-vaxxers. They're even calling out two doctors who are looking at the vaccine schedule saying, you know what, guys, we only used to give our kids like, I don't even know the number, but it's like 15 vaccines, and now we're giving them 45 in the same period. Maybe we should space them out. There are a lot of doctors who have actually come out and said that. Space them out more logically so we're not overwhelming the immune system of these infants. They think they should have their licenses pulled. What the hell is that shit? You question the system because there's billions of dollars that's now being invested. Remember what precision healthcare Obama stated in his State of the Union. It's going to include your doctor, the pharmaceutical makers, investors, the geneticists, the FDA. They're all going to make money. They're all going to play a part, and you're going to be the R&D budget line item that now is going to be $0, not trillions of dollars, after Wall Street came out and told the pharmaceutical companies to stop spending so much money on R&D. And Obamacare is not a health care plan, so kickbacks are all legal. Guys, this is so disgusting. I can't even express to you how upset this makes me.
They are doing active harm. As physicians, we are supposed to first do no harm. These doctors are creating harm. They are promoting the spread of infectious diseases, which we should have wiped out by now.
This is propaganda with a capital P.
This is not only bad behavior, it's dangerous behavior.
Doctors Gordon and Sears both declined to speak to CNN on camera for this story, but publicly continue to say vaccines are a parent's choice, not a matter of public health. Back at Dr. Wolfson's office, the parking lot is full. His office tells us the schedule is packed with patients searching for their doctor's wise medical advice.
Just because we've seen that happen to personal acquaintances that many of us have known or listened to on the radio, doctors who had once had practices, who had had personal opinions about vaccinations and other things that then, or genetic testing, let's say, or other things like that, that then were run out of practice and made to look crazy and had their licenses revoked because they bucked the system. Speaking truth does not make you a criminal, people. That's why this needs to go big. This whole plan, they're going to get our kids and these stupid parents that are just so trusting. Why would you trust these people? When have they proven to you in history, now that there's all kinds of historical documentation that's been dug up about the testing that they've done on different populations all throughout history, why would you trust these people with your pride and joy? You know, there was another video that came out. I saw someone say, oh, religious exemption. Well, guess what? There was a lawsuit in New York State. Oh, it probably went through maybe a month ago, where they ruled that religious exemption is no longer an excuse for not having your child vaccinated for school. And here was a clip that, when did this one come out? Another one, same day, yesterday. Does religious exemption do more harm than good? Guys, they're coming after all of it. It's going to be forced. This is going to be something that you either comply or you die. And you know what? It all ties in with the smartwatches. I'm telling you, that's why we listened to that Eric Schmidt, Regina Duggan, Google. She was in charge of that division. Self-assembling. They were self-assembling smart devices. They're in partnership with Motorola and Google. I mean, Motorola and Samsung, Google is. Motorola makes the device. Samsung makes the appliances. Samsung also has a healthcare division. Google has 100 doctors, and they're working on learning to put nanobots into the bloodstream and then read what the data brings back using a wristwatch. Guys, it's not fantasy. This is not fantasy. All right, do religiously. And here's the thing. We win or lose, whether or not the traditional vaccines were effective or not, whether or not they even prove that they've been giving us these vaccines and they haven't been protecting us. Well, we lose both ways because they have stuff waiting in the wings, and all this stuff now is queued up waiting phase one trials in humans. All we need is the next emergency to make it so. Let's see. I don't know if I'm connected.
Now engulfing it.
Hold on one second.
The measles outbreak that began in California's Disneyland continues to spread across the country, now engulfing at least 14 other states. In California, a state where parents are allowed to refuse to immunize their children, now almost 100 confirmed cases.
The more kids aren't vaccinated, the more risk there is that measles will regain a foothold in this country.
A foothold that almost took hold in the city of brotherly love.
I lived through the 1991 Philadelphia measles epidemic, and I think anybody who lived through that ended up being scarred by it.
Within just a few months, the outbreak engulfed 1,400 people and killed 9 after 2 churches refused to vaccinate their kids, citing religious beliefs.
It was just incredibly painful to watch these children being pulled out of their homes, one after the next, dead from measles.
And of course, it was those parents that had religious beliefs that prevented them from getting vaccinated. I'm telling you, 9 kids. I'm sad that 9 kids died. But you know, how many people do we lose from the flu? How many children have died from the flu? Any of these viral infections? And I mean, even bacterial infections can get ancillary infections that then make them dangerous. But measles itself is like a 0.2%, 0.1 to 0.2% death rate. It's very, very, very small.
City ultimately got a court order to forcibly vaccinate the church's children.
Did you hear that? So in 91, they got a court order to forcibly vaccinate the children.
There was a panic in this city. There were schools that were canceling trips to the city. It was terrible.
Could that scenario play out today?
Guys, they're setting it up.
Things certainly could happen. Hopefully it won't.
While all 50 states require children to be vaccinated for measles, 48 states allow for religious exemptions. 19 states also allow philosophical exemptions for one's personal beliefs. In California, where vaccination rules are more lenient, 3.3% of kindergartners last year, more than 18,000, were allowed to skip vaccinations.
Nobody asks to see where in the major text of their religion it says don't get vaccinated. Nobody asks to have a cleric that works in their religion write a letter that says this is not our belief. So it's used really just as a sort of default mechanism to allow parents who choose not to get vaccines to more easily make that choice.
This should be disturbing all of us. They have lined it up now. The next step is forced vaccination. I mean, they're not going to let this happen anymore. They're not going to give us a choice anymore. And all of this new technology, and I guess we're going to have to dig more into this tomorrow, because I really want to read to you now the connections about how they're using this RNAi and using nanotechnology. Just one last thing before the show is over. There is a new iPhone app, I believe. I don't know if it actually says what app, but it's an Israeli consortium. They have a £6 million grant from a European Commission to develop a phone attachment for your cell phone that does a sniff test to diagnose whether or not you have lung cancer. Your cell phone is going to be able to diagnose your cancer, and all you'll need then is an injection of the nanobots. And there we go, people. Make sure you stick around. Mr. Kevin Blanch is up live next. Chuck O'Celli live at 6 p.m. tonight. Chuck and Drew live at 10 p.m. Eastern. Anti-Media Radio with SM Gibson and Diedrich Young at 11. All right, guys. Everybody have an awesome Thursday.